everyone this morning, and it is wonderful. His love is marvellous. Amen. The Lord bless each one. We want to thank Brother Regis for doing these DVDs, MP3s, for Brother Brand. This is the last time that Brother Brand was here. It's a copy of all the meetings. It's up at the back beside the tithe box, going down the stairs. And we appreciate our Brother Regis for taking the time to do them, and we really appreciate that. And really tremendous messages. The rear guard, the visitation of God's messenger, Jesus Christ, far above all things new and things old. And I can remember most of them services, I really enjoyed them. And not Wednesday coming, but the following Wednesday, Brother Brian will be here. It just seems unreal, doesn't it? The time's going so quick, this year's going so quick. And if the weather doesn't change soon, we're going to have to pray for it to change, brother, because I'm about sick of it. I like a bit of snow, but it's just overdoing it a bit. Praise God. Isaac, you'll be happy, won't you? Not enough yet.
I'm looking forward to summer.
He's looking forward to summer. Praise God. Children, God bless. Good to see that we once said in the verse, and I know we're probably not many this morning, as a brother would say, we're lighting the ground, but the Lord bless those who's coming. I'll try not to hold you too long. And I'm sure you've heard all the news about this last few weeks about the priests. And it couldn't escape your attention. It's terrible, the things that went on. But I want to preach this morning about the one true priest. The one and only priest. I really felt strongly to bring this morning. Let's read verse 6, just one verse from Hebrews, then one from Psalms. Hebrews 5, verse 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Then Psalms 110, verse 4, and keep your finger in Hebrews, because that's the book we're going to be looking at today, and I love the book of Hebrews. Praise God. Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can bow before you in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your name is above every other name, both in heaven and in earth. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the Father in heaven above. We thank you, Lord, this morning for your mercy and for your grace. Pray, Lord, you'll cover us with your blood. Pray you'll wash us afresh in the blood and sanctify us and fill us with your Spirit. We ask that your presence will come in our meetings. We pray you'll bless your word. Give an unction to the reading and the speaking of your word today. And bless your own people. Touch every life here this morning. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary and touch his throat and his body. And for others as well that need your touch from colds and flus. Lord, will you touch them and minister to them and bless them from the navel. Health and strength. In Jesus' precious name, for it's by your stripes we were healed. Father, we bless you now. Lord, I take the promise, Holy Spirit, to help me. And I thank you that you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Pray also, Lord, for those that couldn't be here, that you'll bless them and strengthen them and be with them in Jesus' precious name. For all these wee boys and girls that come up and say their verse. And for even the smaller ones, Lord, bless every one of them and cover them with your blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I believe that the psalm, this psalm here, is a prophecy of Christ. Then when we read the book of Hebrews, we see that it is. And in this text, in this chapter, his priesthood is expressly asserted. And it's the priesthood of Christ that I want to look at this morning. Thou art a priest. Praise God. Speaking of Christ's priesthood, in verse 4 of Psalms, it is the Lord saying of Christ, thou art a priest. So God himself is saying of his son Jesus, thou art a priest. And the first thing we want to see is forever. Not a priest for a season. And you see, this is why some people, when they preach the saints, get confused. And I'm going to say that. And they have him as a lamb and then not as a lamb. I thought it was good what a brother said. He said he almost was a lamb and almost is a lamb. And he almost was the lion of the tribe of Judah way back, and he almost will be as well. He's always all them things. And he's a priest forever. That's the Bible. You don't need nobody to tell you anything about it. The Bible tells you he's a priest forever. Praise God. And he's our priest. Personal to us. Now if the Lord is a priest forever, what need is there for another priest? And we're going to see this morning that the old priesthood wasn't good enough. But a superior priesthood came in after the order of Melchizedek. When you think of Melchizedek, he's no father, he's no mother, no beginning of death and no ending. And you see, that's God. And then we saw for a brother Daniel last week talked about God coming down, where God took upon him the form of a man. He lowered himself. Because Adam lost everything, Christ restored it. Christ brought it back. The second Adam, the Lord from heaven, he's the one that done it. And he's the one we're going to preach about and talk about. And he's the one we want to give all the glory to. Praise God. Thou art a priest. That is of God's appointing. For Christ to be a priest. God's appointing and the priest forever. So God has appointed this priest. There's priests today, but God never appointed them. This is the problem. They never were appointed of God. They're appointed by an archbishop or an overseer or some man's thinking and some man's making. But this priest we have is appointed by God himself. You can get no higher appointment. If God appoints someone, that's the highest you can get, praise God. Now this plainly shows us Christ as everlasting priesthood is evident by the testimony that Christ is an everlasting priest. He ever remaineth to exercise the function of himself. I tell you something, you see, now when people tell you this function ceases, and this function stops, what do they do with these scriptures? He ever liveth. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He is a priest for a dispensation. He is a priest until a certain date. You don't read that. Ever. Priest forever. Let's read just a few scriptures from Hebrews 7 verse 17. Hebrews 7 and verse 17. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So God's not going to repent about this. This is it. It's set in stone, as the man says. Yes, it can never be changed that he's a priest forever. There's going to be no date when he won't become a priest. Can you get that?
want you to get this. It doesn't matter that we're living in 2018.
And it doesn't matter that we're in the last church age. And it doesn't matter if we're a bride. And I believe, if we're really true believers, we are the bride of Christ. I believe that. But you're not saved different today than what they were saved in the Bible. You cannot be.
Salvation is no different. You don't get a different revelation to get saved now than you ever did. You're saved by simply calling upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10 verse 9. And it says the word is now in thy mouth, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved by calling upon the Lord. Job said in the book of Acts, say, it shall come to pass the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation remains the same. This is the problem. I did something the other, you know, when Billy Graham passed away, I went on, you know, them God channels and all. I went on there, just, I didn't watch all of it, but I went around them all and I listened to what they were saying. And I discovered something very quickly. Out of the whole lot of them, all of them, Billy Graham was the only man preaching the gospel. The rest weren't. None of them preached it. They preached sow your seed. They preached give. And they preached about all. And you get one man and he has a wee replica over the other channel. And he's copied this other fella. And he uses his points and sermons. And it's all about sowing and all about giving. And that's the way to do it. There's no preaching of salvation. But Billy Graham preached salvation and repentance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that part's right. You can't do away with it. You can't divorce it. It's true. It's the Bible. The rest of them never preached that. They preached all the other things and they thought they had a whole lot, but really what they had was useless. Because you don't get that first part, you're not going nowhere. You're lost without that first bit. It's the most important part. Here's the thing I noticed about it. The most important part's the part that's hardly been done. Why is that? That's the work of the devil. That's why. All this evil age. Verse 25 it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. So he's a priest forever, and his priesthood never changes, and he ever liveth to make intercession. So he's a priest forever, and his priesthood never changes, and he ever liveth, he'd make intercession. Why is a priest? How long is he a priest for? Ever. Praise God for this priest. For such a priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Now I want to take my time and just look at this, and I won't keep this too long. But let me say this, I'm sure you've heard the news and you've saw all about these absolute filthy beasts. That's all they are. That's what the Bible calls them. I'll give you scripture 41. It calls them filthy brute beasts. And my thing is, I feel sorry for the Catholic people, but I have to say this is some sort of a spirit blindness. Because why would you go back into something like that with a beast in it? Why would you send your children to that? I wouldn't. No way. But they do it. There's some sort of a hold over them. Some sort of a grip over them. And it's satanic. And it's from the pit of hell. Filthy brute beasts. And the things they do is unspeakable. For the Bible says it's a shame to speak of the things done in secret. Shame to even speak of it. Did you know that? But really, this is Sodom and Gomorrah again we're living in. And remember the words with William Branham said. And he said it in the 60s. That's worse now than it was in the 60s. He said, if God doesn't judge this generation, he'd have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize. It's so filthy today. And they're trying to make all this homosexual stuff normal. It's not normal. It's perversion. And I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. And you know whether you're a boy or a girl when you're born. There's one way of telling without me saying any more, you know what it is. And that's as simple as that. But I tell you, it's the spirit of the age. And if we see the Laodicean spirit, and Laodicea means people's rights. I will do what I want, that's what Laodicea means. And we see the day, you can't say a word against it, or you're homophobic. And there's some other new word now, I heard some of you mention it last week. There's another new word now as well. And all these words you never heard of. When I was a wee fella, I never heard tell of them words. And did you know in parts of Africa, if they do such, they're jailed. They're put in jail. Now, I want you to see there's two parts to Christ's priesthood. One was to offer sacrifice. And verse 27 says of Hebrews 7, he gave himself. So the one was to offer a sacrifice. Now, the difference in Christ's priesthood and man's priesthood is that Christ never had to offer for his own sins, for he had none. But the Old Testament priest had to offer for himself, then for the people. And when he offered for himself, he had to come to a stage for God accepting him, and he pleased God. And if he didn't please God and wasn't accepted, you know what he was into the tabernacle, he'd come out dead. They pulled him out by the rope. He had to offer for himself first, then for the people. But this priest, Christ, offered just for us. For he had no sin. He was superior to any other priest. He didn't have to offer for himself. For he had no sin and he knew no sin. And also to make intercession. This he doth continue ever. Verse 25 tells us this. It is necessary that the church ever have a priest. And that such a priest as Christ is, meaning the offer of himself, once for all, never offered again. So Christ was offered up once for all, can never ever be offered again. This is the secret of the gospel. This is the strength of the gospel. So it's absolute perversion when a man tries to re-offer Christ. And the Roman Catholic system, they re-offer Christ every service, every mass. They re-offer him. It's all fake and it's all false. Christ can never be re-offered. And we need to pray for our Catholic neighbours, you know that. I'm not talking about praying for the chapel or the system, it's dead. All systems are. But for the person, pray for them. That God will save them. That God will open their eyes. And that they'll see this true priest, Christ Jesus, was offered up once for all. And never ever can be offered again. I tell you something, there was no stories about this man, what we're hearing today. It's terrible. It's absolute priestcraft. Brother Branham said the Roman Catholic religion is the highest form of spiritualism because they pray to the dead. And praying to the dead in the Bible is called the spirit of necromancy. And you're forbidden to pray to the dead. You're not allowed to pray to the dead. And Brother Branham says your relations that went on, it's not far from you. It's your realm. But he says do not contact them. You're not allowed to do it. Don't contact them. It's a spirit of necromancy. And when people get involved in the spirit of necromancy, there's a spirit with it and they need to get deliverance from it. I prayed for people with such and God's delivered them. My first time experience, I know what I'm preaching about. You never can pray to the dead. And it doesn't matter if it's a great man of God or a prophet, it doesn't matter who it is. There's only one you can pray to. That's this priest that ever liveth. Amen. That's the key. He ever liveth. He's the one we pray to. He's the only priest that a man needs. He's the only priest that you can come to and confess to. sacrifice for all time and for all eternity, once for all, offered. Who gives man the right to be offered? Nobody. It's a figment of their own religion. It's a figment of false tradition. It's not scripture. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. It's saying to Jesus, you didn't do enough when a man re-offers him. He never can be re-offered. He was offered up once for all. Two parts to this. An intercession. And I'll tell you that, thank God for this intercession. He's praying for us. The Lord's our priest. The Lord intercedes for us. We don't need an earthly priest. I remember one time I worked in a chapel. I used to work with a company and we used to restore wood in any type of a building. It could be under the floor, it could be in the ceiling. We restored it. It was one of them companies. They restored it and they spread stuff on the wood and all. And all types of stuff. I'm going to tell you here and now, half of it was absolute nonsense. Half of what they spread. Because years later they came back and it arrived. It never worked. But it was out as chemicals watered down dirt. And there's only one way to fix it. Rip the whole lot out and put the new in. That's the way to do it. Spraying this and spraying that. And I know companies that went back to get the money back because it failed. And the boy, of course, he'd retired. He was driving a big new car. He'd retired from his business and it was all closed down. Nobody could get satisfaction. That's what happened with a lot of them chemicals. And injecting in here and injecting in different stuff. I know all about it. I worked on it. But we went to this chapel and we were fixing this ceiling. It was a beautiful place. And then these images all around of saints, so-called saints. Now Paul talks of saints and he wrote to them. They were living. But I remember one woman, I'll never forget it. She came in every morning. We said, you know, do you want us to go out? And they said, no, as long as you're quiet. During it, you could stay up. And I was on scaffolding, the way up in the chapel. I was up in the ceiling. And they're all down doing what they do. And this wee woman came in and she started out, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Wrong to start with. God has no mother. How could God have a mother? You said Jesus has a mother. She didn't say Jesus. She said Holy Mary, Mother of God. Mary was used for the Lord to, as an incubator. Mary is the earthly mother of Christ. You could say that. But they're praying Holy Mary, the Mother of God. And God having no mother, because God's no beginning, no ending. He's a great self-existing one. False. The prayer was false to start. So when you start with a false prayer, it goes no further. It never reached me. Never mind the ceiling. And I was below the ceiling. But I'll tell you what I went home and I cried. And I wept when I saw the blindness of that pervy woman and the disease she had. Look how many chairs we've had this morning. Now I know it's not a great morning, but nevertheless, I tell you that wee woman came to chapel every single day. She would die every day praying for her children, praying Holy Mary, Mother of God. And you know that they get the rosary beads and they go over it so many times. And it's repetition. I want you to know, when you pray to the Lord, you don't need to repeat yourself twice. He hears you the first time. A simple, short prayer God can hear. Some of the greatest miracles and some of the greatest signs I've ever seen and so many God do. The people were astonished because they prayed a simple prayer. Look at Peter and John. Children of God have begun, but such as we haven't given yet. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lazarus rise up and walk. How long did that take? Not very long. Jesus said, I will be thy home. Didn't take long. Repetition. I tell you, you don't need repetition with God when you're praying. God hears you the first time. It is necessary that the church ever have a priest, and that such a priest as Christ is, meaning the offer of himself once and for all, never to be offered again. Now I want to take this word
ever here for a moment. In verse 27, if Christ should cease to be our priest, who should exceed him? No mere creature can go forward with the work which he hath begun. The everlastingness of Christ's priesthood, discover it. The vanity and folly of all papists about their priests, whom they account true and real sacrificing priests. What need for other priests? Christ being a priest forever. Why would you need another priest? Now I looked this word up in the dictionary, forever. Here's what it means. Always eternally. At all times, continually. So when the Bible says Christ is a priest forever, it means always, forever. That does away with some doctrines, you know, that he ceases. There's a certain time will come when the Lord will no longer be able to save, and a certain time will come that he'll never. Now, get away with that nonsense. That's not scripture. The Bible says he's a priest forever, continually, always. I tell you something, that the Lord's going to save. But it's only through the Lord people are saved. They're not saved any other way. Only through the Lord. And I tell you, these priests here, they have no message, these earthly priests. They have no ministry. The ministry, the priesthood ceased for Christ. For he fulfilled it. And he's the one true priest. That's what the Bible says. Now, a pastor's a type of a priest. A type. And what that means is that he looks after the sheep and things of God. I agree with that. I believe that. But he's not this priest. He needs this priest. A real pastor will point you to this priest. A real pastor will bring you to this one and true priest and only priest. That's what he'll really do. In that to himself, or pointing himself, appointed to someone else, he's pointing to this one true priest. Either Christ's execution of the priesthood is sufficient, which if you believe that it is insufficient, that's blasphemy. And you see, actually, when they re-offer him and they take the place of Christ, they are saying, you are not good enough, Lord. What you done? That's what they're saying. What you done wasn't enough. And it's not enough. That's why they're working their way to heaven. People today are working their way to heaven. But you don't have to work your way to heaven when you've accepted this true priest. Because this true priest says, when you call upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. You're not saved for a few days, you're saved for all time and all eternity. Saved and saved forever. For this is a priest forever. See, the strength of our salvation doesn't lay in ourselves, it lays in this priest. And this is a priest forever. Isn't that something? Forever. Praise God. For the priests are all together in vain, and that's what I believe. This continuance of Christ's priesthood has been the ground of the church's address to the throne of grace ever since the ascension of Christ into heaven. And so will it be as long as the world continues. Forever will be this our priest be for us in things pertaining to God. So long as he continues our king to govern us, so long will he continue our priest to intercede for us. That's Christ. We may with as much confidence still apply the sacrifice of Christ as if the blood were still trickling down. His blood will still speak. The blood of Christ still speaks. The blood of Christ will never lose its power. When people say the blood's finished, they're mistaken. Do you know why? They've missed the whole revelation of it. People say, well, I believe the message and I believe the time will come when the blood will cease. That lets me know they don't know the message. That statement alone lets me know that. Do you know why? Because when William Branham explains about the blood, he says you have to understand it's the life in the blood. That's what it's talking about in speaks. And that life that's in the blood is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes back on the believer to testify you're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that
saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And the life of the blood is the Holy Spirit. And there's a Holy Spirit cease. No. I thank God the Holy Spirit's still here today. And you see people say when the bride goes, God removes the Holy Spirit. What then does work on Israel? What is it that works on Israel? I'll tell you, it's the same Holy Ghost. Do you believe that? It's the same Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said they receive the same Pentecostal message we receive. They'll have to hear the gospel. They'll have to hear the real message. Israel will. And Moses and Elijah's going to come and preach it to them. And the same Holy Spirit's going to see 144,000 that see the bride. That same Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? And here's another thing. I know there's people that's foolish virgin. They're not all bride. But there's a number coming out of great tribulation that no man can number. And they're saved. They're not lost. That's the thing about it. They're not the bride. But they're saved. They're not lost. They maybe didn't come the full way. They maybe didn't have the oil. But they accepted Christ. And they come out of great tribulation. Robed in white. I wonder how they got them. He gave them to them. That's how they got them. You see, I tell you, God is wonderful, isn't he? He's not willing that any should perish. If a man might not ever come the full way, if you want to put it in them words or whatever way you want to describe it, but if a man gets saved, he's saved. He's not lost. Now, we would that the come right through and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believe all the word that God's given and all them things. We would want to do that. We desire that. But that's God's choosing. We can't make somebody do that. That's up to God. That's up to the Lord. Praise God. Hebrews 12 verse 24 says, unto Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speak of better things than that of evils. Praise God. Let me read you this statement from a message called the Pope. The blood speaks. Yes, the blood speaks. In Genesis 4:10, we find out that God, that Abel's blood spoke out from the ground. We find out in Hebrews 12, the blood of the covenant of Christ speaks better things than that of evil. See, the blood does speak. It speaks on your behalf. The life that's in you speaks from the shed blood. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost you're talking about. Oh, brother, I wish everybody would see that. If you can see what it is, it's the life that's in you, see. That blood is identifying you with it. It's the token. What is it? The blood was shed for you. You've accepted. And the life has come into you. You have the token. That's the Holy Spirit. So when you, by faith, receive the blood of Christ to cleanse your sin, isn't that simple? The life of the blood of Jesus Christ and the life of the blood of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. It's what comes on you. And it's what fills you. It's what baptizes you. And it's the life of that blood in you. Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And that's the life we need. We have a life here, that's earthly life. You know, it won't last. No matter what you do with it. Not last. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. As you get older, you have pains you didn't have when you're 20. And another thing too, when you're 20 years of age, you get a wee knock in a few days, you never worry about it again. As you get older, you get a knock, and a few months later, you're still thinking about it. You see, that's nature. We're in a pest house, Paul calls it. This is a pest house. But that's why we want the life of that blood in us to quicken us. And Paul said that this earthly tabernacle shall be dissolved. But we have one waiting for us. We have one waiting for us, Paul says. For this corruptible. And it's 1 Corinthians 15, must put on incorruptible. And this mortal must put on of the order of Melchizedek. The word order here means appointed or set in order. It is appointed to the setting of commanders or officers of war and order. And Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a superior order, a greater order. Now let me go through these here and I'll miss out a lot of scriptures. It's to save time. Now let me say this. Hereby we are given to understand that the priesthood here mentioned, and the priesthood of Aaron, and the two distinct kinds, the apostle here doth bring in this priesthood as distinct from Aaron, because there were many things in Christ which were not agreeable to Aaron's order. Christ wasn't of the tribe Aaron was from, and a king couldn't be a priest, and Christ was a king. And he wasn't off the tribe Aaron was from. You say, I don't know about that. Well, you're going to know in a minute, because I'm going to give you the Bible for it. I want you to get this, you say. You say, why is this important? Because so many people today want to take you into law. The law's alright to bring you to Christ. That's alright. But when you come to Christ, you want the Lord, you want Christ. Which of the two do you want? I know what I want. That's why a prophet preached a message, law or grace. It's a great message he preached. Do you ever get a chance to listen to it? Christ was a king. Now, he was not a king. Christ was a king. And according to Aaron's order, a king couldn't be a priest. Did you know that? That's the Old Testament. He was of the tribe of Judah, which tribe no man gave attendance of the elder. Here's the scripture, Hebrews 7, verse 13. Let's read this. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. So Jesus Christ is unique in that he was a king and yet a priest. He's unique in that he's from a tribe they never talked about. That's the way God brought him. He neither had predecessor or successor, but priests after Aaron's order had both. Aaron had a priest before him, and Aaron had a priest to continue after him. Aaron was a successor of one that went before him, and the one that went after Aaron could look back and say, I followed on after Aaron. But nobody went before this priest, and nobody comes after him, because he's before all things, because he made all. And by him all things consist. He's the Lord of all glory. But yet he's a priest. So he's nobody before him, and there's nobody succeeding after him. So the Roman Catholic Church preached the apostolic succession. And they say Peter continues on and on, down and on, down to this day, and they have a pope and a man, they say, continues on. It's all scripture. Because there's nobody follows after this priest. For he alone does it. He needs no help. He's no superior. He's no successor. He is the Lord of all glory. Our brother brought it well, didn't he? When he showed plainly how that Christ was God in flesh, condescending and come down. Lord himself, the little Lord and the angels, took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I know there might be many of us here, but I'm enjoying this. This excites me. This priest here. Oh, yes. Neither had predecessor nor successor. Both priests after Aaron's order had both. Somebody before and somebody after. Jesus doesn't. Hebrews 7:24. For this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now when a man comes to tell you on a date it changes, watch out. Can you see that now? How could it change? Do you see what a brother said last week? Did you see the way he brought it? He showed us that he always was a lamb. You see that? He always was a lamb. For the Bible says he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. No, he became the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he always was that as well. about it all, you know. This is really simple, but it's true.
You see, I was so blessed when I studied the tabernacle. And I spent a long time with it, reading it, studying it. Every book I get my hands on, read it. Through the Bible, read it, every word, and get information on it. I spent a lot of time studying it. You know the thing blessed me about it. It's simple. You go in through the gate, which is four pillars. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Them four pillars uphold the veil, which is a type of the gate, which is Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John upheld Christ. He lifted them up. One is a man, one is a priest, one is a king, and so forth. Four different things about it. The colours in it, the blue is the Lord from heaven, the scarlet is royalty, the white is righteousness, the gold is the supreme being, he's God in flesh. Everything's Christ, all of it. But here's the thing about it. Come on in with me in your mind for a moment. And here's the tabernacle, it's like a square, you know, big oblong like this. And you come in through this gate and you come in, and the first thing you come to is a brazen altar of sacrifice. Now everything in there is a cubic and a half high, but it's free. But in the midst of it, where the pot is, or where you place the sacrifice, is a cubic and a half. It's in the midst of it. And when you study the brazen altar, it's made from wood, which is a type of Christ's humanity. It's overlaid with brass, which is a type of God judging the Son at the cross. That's what brass speaks of judgment. But here's the thing, bless me more than all that. When you really study it, you've got your cups, you've got your pans, you've got your spoons, and you've so many different implements and different things in there. And all of them fit within the brazen altar. They're all within it. Hey, did you get that now? So everything's in Christ. It's not in the tabernacle as such, it's in the brazen altar. Everything's placed within the midst of the brazen altar. And all the gifts are in Christ. It's not the church. It's Christ. That's where the prophet had the argument with the priest. He said, you believe what your church says. Brother Branham says, no, I believe the Bible. He says, when the church leaves the Bible, I leave the church. He says, you believe the church, but we believe the Bible. That's the difference. You see. We must stay with the Bible. Because it's all in Christ. Salvation's in Christ. The baptism of the Holy Ghost's in Christ. Sanctification's in Christ. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in Christ. Joy, peace, everything's in Christ. Just like that brazen altar. You can put it all within it. And it all fits in. It's made to fit. All in Christ. That's why it's three cubic. It's bigger than all the rest. And here's another thing you'll see about it. But the tabernacle, I know I've got off my subject a bit. But you see the brazen altar in the midst, cubic and a half. You go on to make you come to the lava for the wash. It was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel. Like a mirror. It holds water. When you look in it, you see your reflection. It's a cubic and a half high. And God's word reflects our sin. When we look into the mirror of God's word, it reflects our sin. Then in the golden altar of incense, cubic and a half high. Then you go in through the next door, which is the holy place. When you go into the holy place, you have the table of showbread, 12 cakes, 12 tribes of Israel. You have the 7 golden candlesticks, 7 church ages. But the table again is a cubic and a half high. Go right on into the holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant, where orange rod butted it, and the cherubims overshadowing it, cubic and a half high. Why is it all a cubic and a half? Because Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging. That's why the heights are the same. Showing you, he never changes. So why am I saying that? Why am I saying that when I'm preaching here this morning? Because if the Bible tells you he's a priest forever, it means he is a priest forever. If it tells you he's a priest that continues forever, it means he continues forever. It doesn't mean there's a date when he ceases. He ever liveth, he ever continues. He's your priest.
Oh, thank God for this morning. He neither had preceder or supersessor. This man, because he continued to ever have an unchangeable priesthood. Other differences are observed by the apostle in chapter 7 here of Hebrews. The order of priesthood is superior to Aaron's order. Now let me just go through this, then we'll close. Just gone 5 past. 5 more minutes now, I'm closing. I won't keep you half an hour. Just be 5 minutes. I know that some of us, 5 minutes is a half hour to watch, but mine's not. Hopefully not. Sometimes, maybe. I could say that, but I'm getting country, brother. Praise God. Listen, here's just these 4 things I want to bring you about this. We're going to close. The priests should offer for their own sins. I tell you, Christ never had to do that. Hebrews 5 and 3 it says, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for his sins. When Aaron had to offer for his own sins, then for the people, Christ never, ever had to offer for his sins. Would you not call that superior? I would. Why would we go to an earthly priest who's a sinner? You said my priest's not a sinner. He is a sinner. Your earthly priest is born in sin. Your earthly priest is sheep in iniquity. And across our televisions and radios, we have saw clearly they're great sinners. Filthy, dirty ones. Stinking ones. As dirty and stinking as you can ever see. See, that's what they are, these priests. But the Lord is the Lord that Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Neither was guile found in his mouth, for never man speak like this man. Behold the man. Hallelujah. I tell you, there's no man like this man, Jesus. That's why I can preach here today. I was a sinner, hell deserving. But Jesus found me. And I came to the priest, the only true living priest of God, Jesus Christ. And in one simple prayer, in faith believing, I was born again and became a child of God by the Spirit of Almighty God. No repetition was needed. One prayer heard by God because of the one true and living priest. Here's the other thought. That they should offer beasts and birds. Leviticus 1 verse 2 and verse 14. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering to the cattle and herd and so forth. Verse 14. And talks about the burnt offering. They'll offer to the Lord turtle doves and pigeons. And you had to offer for the Lord, but this man, he was offered once. No more offerings. No more, you know, such as a box. Can you imagine bringing the Lord to church in a box? And the wee box is brought out for the congregation. I have invested in me because of the Pope of Rome. That I have the little physical power to open this box and turn this wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus Christ. It's called the act of transubstantiation. What an absolute abomination. Absolute perversion and adultery of a religion. There it is. Christ was offered up once for all. Never to be offered again. He cannot be re-offered. Never. Praise God. Aren't you glad once was enough? God was pleased with it. God was pleased with what Christ done. Here's your third thought, and I'm going to close in a moment. That they should oft offer the same kind of sacrifices. And the next Sunday they do it again. And the next time they do it again. How many times do they offer it? When the Bible says once for all. Oh, I would that God would open the Catholics' eyes. I mean that.
I have friends that are Catholics. And I know men that's Catholic. Brian Freeborn was a Catholic. John McFadden was a Catholic. But God saved them. In that sovereign. Martin Luther, a priest of the Augustine order. But God wondrously. You see, I want you to get a hold of this now as I close. Can you see the depth of God's love and God's grace to save Martin Luther? Think of the blindness and the condition and the grip of popery and Romanism that was on that man. And the belief that he was brought into and the customs he learned and the procedures he went through, God in his mercy alone saved him. And he opened his eyes and one scripture was enough. The just shall live by faith. Praise God. Here's my last thought. That they should offer such sacrifices as could not make perfect. Here's the thing about it, I'm closing. You can look at Hebrews 10 verse 1. You see all these sacrifices. This is another thing that Brother Brown brought out. I never heard nobody else bring it out the way he did. He said the Old Testament lambs and bullocks and all, when you sacrificed them, there was no soul, there was no life. When they died, the blood congealed, the blood dried up. That was the end of it. But when Christ died, there was something happened. There was a life with the blood. The blood never congealed. Oh, hallelujah. It never dried. But it reached the throne of heaven. For the Bible says in Hebrews, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly. Christ's blood entered heaven. And the life that was on the blood comes back on the believer. Because there's a life. And you have a life. You have a soul. And your soul's precious to God. The Lord loves you this morning. I want you to be encouraged today as we go. If you have a neighbour that's a Catholic, pray for him. I'm serious. I tell you, they're in darkness. Gross darkness. And so many of the Protestant churches as well are preaching religion. They're not preaching Christ. Religion won't save. Only Christ can save. Thank God. Let's come and bow our heads. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I know there's not many here today, but if you want a word of prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Praise God, God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what we've preached and said from your word, that you are a priest. And your word says that you're a priest that continueth forever, and you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we are saints because of your blood. We're saints because we call upon the name of the Lord and recognize we were sinners, undone and filthy. And we ask for your precious blood to wash us and clean us and happen according to your word. Father, I pray for the hands that's raised. You know every need. Lord, I ask you, answer prayer. Touch my brother, touch my sister. Answer their prayer, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we know that with you we don't need repetition. For you're the Lord of all glory. Amen. Your ear is ever open to their cry. Your arm's not shortened. But you're fit to save and deliver. Father, touch your people, I pray today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know different friends I have. Many even that's quit going to the old house of Babylon. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll open their eyes and you'll save them and deliver them. Only the glorious light of the gospel can do it. I pray you'll reach them, Lord, for your glorious light in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we're glad every one of us from the day we live in, from the abominations. Oh God, cover them with your precious blood. Keep them safe from the wiles of the enemy. We rebuke the devourer this day in the name of the Lord. We ask the precious blood of the Lamb be over one in this building, and the life of the blood, the Holy Ghost, the token, let go with us, that you would lead us and guide us and watch over us. Now, Lord, bless us again. And if thou wouldst tarry till tonight, I pray you'll bring us again and help us for the gospel service. And save a man or save a woman. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.